CD 3.
Well, he'd kept the best for the last, hadn't he? I began to see why I'd been instructed by careful stages, and why he'd interrupted Speedy a while ago, so that only now, at the 11th hour, had the full mischief become plain. I was to be escorted on my embassy to a queenly barbarian by a jealous sibling, who was no doubt itching to cut her big sister's throat and seize her throne. And didn't she look the part, too? A real Abyssinian goneril, with that handsome figurehead and arrogant tilt to her chin, toying with her little spear and knowing damn well that everyone in the tent was eyeing her shape. By gad, it was all there, though. You can see I was distracted, what with the prospect of deadly danger, diplomatic complications, a possible attempted coup d'etat, a siege to arrange, and 2 weeks in the intimate company of as splendid a piece of bounce as I'd seen since that fat little bundle on the voyage to Trieste. Not that Fraulein von Thingamabob could compare with this superb Amazon. I won't deny I'd rather have been squiring Elsbeth to a Belgravia bun fight in safe, humdrum old England. But what the devil? When your fate's fixed, you make the best of it. And now that Napier was asking if there was anything more he could do for me, I did what I'd done so often, and put on a flashy brag, the bravado of despair, I guess it is, the fraudster's instinct to play out the charade. I'd be obliged for a revolver and 50 rounds, sir. Oh, and a box of cheroots, if you have one to spare. Do you know, he clapped his hands, and when I think back to that strange, fateful evening at Mai de Ha, my most vivid memory isn't of the bizarre commission they laid on me, or the pantomime figure of Speedy in his outlandish toguery, or even of those sleek, polished limbs aglow in the lamplight. No, what I remember is a tired, lined old face lit by a sudden, brilliant smile.
"Come closer into the firelight where I can see you," says Ullabowalk. "If you are to be a horse trader out of Hindustan, you'd best look like one."
I shifted my seat before the fire until our faces were no more than a foot apart, and was pleasantly aware of smooth shoulders and well-filled tunic bodice, and the faint musky perfume of oiled skin as she leaned forward, black eyes intent. She put out a hand to feel my hair, which, fortunately, I was wearing long, and flicked at my whiskers with disdain.
"Those must go, and you'll let your hair grow and oil it with ghee in the Indian fashion."
She ran a fingertip through my moustache, cool as you please.
"Less hair on your upper lip and no beard."
So much for your notions, Napier.
"You can speak the tongue of India at need."
"More than one of them, Sultana," says I, "and better than my Arabic, for which you must forgive me. It is a long time since I was among the Badawi."
"You speak it well enough," says she. "Why do you call me Sultana? I am no queen."
"You look like one." It's a compliment I found useful with barbarian ladies, and it made this one laugh with a curl of those enchanting lips that looked as though they'd been carved from purple marble.
"That has been said to me before," says she, "and surely you have said it to others."
She sat back, folding her long legs beneath her, mocking me.
"Well, Kazim Tamwar, for so I must think of you now. You are a very handsome rogue of a horse trader, with a tongue to match. And now that we've exchanged our compliments, we can leave flirting for the moment and be serious."
Napier was right. She was unusual. Talking to her in my halting Arabic, and accustoming my ears to hers, so musically different in accent from the guttural desert speech, I found her a bewildering contradiction. She looked like a noble savage, a primitive from out yonder, but with a thoroughly worldly mind, unless I was much mistaken, and while she bore herself with the freedom and authority of a man, she was as conscious of her sex and how to use it as any coquette on the boulevards. She charmed Napier, no question, which I'd have thought nigh impossible for a half-naked female savage toting a spear, but he'd referred to her hesitantly as madam, and inclined